Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host, Chris Cameron, and our guest this week, playwright, blogger, and reviewer, Ron Mackay. Ron, in the past few years, you've contributed to several blogs, one of which asks for blogs on a certain topic and then imposes other rules as well. What's the appeal of writing to order? Tell us about this blog and why you write for it.
I've discovered that writing to order provides me with a controlled outlet for memories from a varied and disjointed life. Writing to precise directives helps me to reduce the disorder. I enjoy writing for Fred's blog. Just search for FRED's blog. Robert Fear began his blog in 2014. In 2016, he ran his first travel story competition and published winning stories on his blog. Since then, his competitions have produced 3 published volumes of travel stories and highlights. Fred's competitions provide me with a controlled outlet for memories from a varied life.
You also belong to several other group blogs and associations.
Felicity introduced me to a blog called Chris the Story Reading Ape. The purpose is to introduce writers to one another through their blogs in a safe and calm environment. I also belong to a Facebook page called We Love Memoirs, where memoir readers and writers can chat together. And then Viviana and I, like you and Felicity and Chris, are members of the Spirit of the Hills Arts Association Writers Group that meets monthly in Grafton. In each of these 3 groups, over a period of time, I've established working relationships with compatible authors. But I enjoy an additional purpose. That purpose is to get to know their books. I've pledged to review at least 1 book of 1 member of 2 of these groups every month. Most months, I manage more. I take 3 different approaches to reviewing. If I'm asked to review a manuscript, I comment briefly on what I find strong, then focus more on what appears weak, so that the author may strengthen the manuscript. For authors who write for a living or present themselves as public intellectuals, I write more balanced, much more critical reviews. But for colleagues who are basically part-time hobby writers, I focus on what I enjoy or admire in their work and write only positive reviews. Since their books are already published, there's little point in my drawing attention to weaknesses. I firmly believe that my colleagues, like me, need all the help we can get, and I enjoy offering my support.
Last October, your play Einstein's Fridge was produced at the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts. Are more of your plays going to be produced this year?
Now that I'm part of the Theatre on King in Peterborough, I have a place where it is possible to have my stage plays produced. However, small theatres are barely cost recoverable. They depend heavily on grants, fundraising, and rely on unpaid volunteers. Even a regional event like the Cobourg Festival of the Arts is able to pay actors and directors only a tiny remuneration. For example, to prepare for my play Einstein's Fridge, the director and actors held 7 2-hour rehearsals before opening night. Apart from their small but very welcome stipend, they basically volunteered their time and their talent. Most provincial theatre actors work full or part-time jobs to earn a living. The truth is that in small theatres, actors and directors do what they do for the love of the stage. And when you know how much time and how much work it takes for the cast to prepare a play for little financial gain, it's not easy to ask a director to produce your play.
You seem to find your inspiration in the past, Ron, in whatever genre you're writing in. Do you have a sense of nostalgia when you recall your experiences?
That's a very good question, Gwyn. Far from being just a nostalgic longing for a past forever lost, writing my memoirs has been more like excavating past experiences so they can be better understood by me. Many are experiences so compelling that they're still very much with me, even though they're hard to make sense of and hard to share with others. I feel that this kind of nostalgia, like laughter, does us good when we most need it. So reflecting on significant past events gives me access to a mine of positive feelings. Reflection has helped me to integrate uncommon experiences into my present life and make sense of feelings that were previously irreconcilable with the present. We writers have a wellspring from which ideas flow, ideas that may be both real or imaginary, or even real and imaginary at the same time. Tapping this wellspring is the very essence of a writer's craft and the most important thing that we can do as writers.
Thanks, Ron. And now I'm going to ask you if you'll please read some more of your work for us. What is it you're going to read?
This excerpt is from a story published in one of Fred's anthologies. Here's the background. When I was 15, I started to work on a farm near the city where I lived. The owner decided he could trust me and so gave me charge of harvesting his raspberry fields. Most berry pickers came from housing estates built to clear the inner city slums. They arrived as entire families to supplement their welfare checks. Mrs. Malloy was a gravel-voiced, gimlet-eyed woman whose savagery stood out among the very worst. She ruled her man and her three delinquent offspring with blasphemy and a ready fist. More than once, I backtracked when I found her and her teenage daughter astride their buckets. I was embarrassed, they not at all. Berry picking ended at 4 p.m. At the cart that served as my office, Mrs. Malloy demanded to be paid first. The glint in her eye persuaded me and the others not to deny her. I stood on the cart and added up on the blackboard the weight of all the buckets of berries that she and her brood had picked. Her colourless lips kept pace with my chalky calculation. 220 pounds of bulk berries, Mrs. Malloy. That makes 27 shillings and 6 pence. She'd already figured out the sum. Aye, son, you might be a posh runt, but you ken your numbers. She displayed empty gums to all watching. Into her red-stained hand, I counted out a pound note, 2 half-crowns, 2 single shillings, and a sixpenny piece called a tanner. With one hand, she stuffed the money into a pocket of the man's jacket she was wearing and beat off her family with the other. Awa to hell, you greedy buggers. You'll get your fags at the shoppy. I began paying the others publicly in carefully counted notes and coins. Suddenly, Mrs. Molloy uttered a blood-curdling shriek. Hey, mister! You've gained me a tanner short, you effing bastard! Her accusation fired my mind into overdrive. I had to react fast and decisively. I gave you the exact amount, Mrs. Molloy. She unleashed a torrent of curses and graphic threats, including which tender bits of my body she was going to cut off and stuff down my throat. I wasn't merely intimidated, I was petrified. There was only one road back to the city. I would be all alone on my bike. Violence in Scotland in the 1950s was a sport. And if I gave in to Mrs. Molloy, every other family would accuse me of shortchanging them. That way lay chaos. I don't know from where, but I summoned up the courage. Mrs. Malloy, I never make mistakes with money, never. Having barely managed these words, I paid the pickers. Meanwhile, Mrs. Malloy kept up her threats. My heart was pounding. As I handed over the final payment, not a single family had left. They were hoping for blood. I padlocked the cash box, mentally reciting the 23rd Psalm. Then Mrs. Malloy's voice rang out again like a cracked bell. Hey, mister! I turned, expecting a stone. I fund it! In the turnips o' my man's breeks! She waved the coin above her head and gave a dried apple grin. I'm glad you found it, Mrs. Malloy. Whew! She wouldn't castrate me after all. Now that she'd ceded to me, I must offer compensation in return. Somehow I knew it had to work like this. Mrs. Malloy, you and your man and your wains are the best pickers on the field. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 7. From Mrs. Malloy, I learned a double lesson. You must stick to your guns when you know you're right, and the unexpected truth that you can turn your enemy into a sort of friend.
Thank you so much, Ron. That was lovely. And thanks for coming in and talking about your life and your work. And listeners, to connect with us, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our broadcasts archived for you to listen to at any time and from anywhere. We'd love to hear from you and welcome all your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Northumberland 897 Truly Local Radio.